Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna tell you a little bedtime tale, legend it will become. Burgers flying out the door, sail on. 2-for-1, no concern for the future. Living for today. Fast food bite on your way, lay it all to waste. The masses are afflicted now. Moo, mad cow, mad cow. Mad cow line dance song.
Hey, Turnbuckle Turmoil and Sign Guy Nation. Welcome to the show here on another Friday afternoon. Some show notes for you. If you're looking for wrestling in the next couple of days, tonight, WCWO, like usual, in the Outlaw Arena in Indianapolis, Indiana. You have live pro wrestling happening in Healy, Alaska tonight, representing 49th State Wrestling. First Wrestling in Minneapolis, Minnesota. PPW in Jeffersonville, Indiana. MPWA in Sterling Heights, Michigan. ICW in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And BCW in the Bronx, New York. Tomorrow night, you can find myself in Tacoma, Washington for Northwest Pro. NLP in Anniston, Alabama. AWF in Tempe, Arizona. OCCW in Stanton, California. RPW in Camden, Delaware. WWA in Evansville, Indiana. PPW in Sandusky, Michigan. APW in Eagle Pass, Texas. ETPW in Rocky Top, Tennessee. RICW in Pawtucket, Rhode Island. IWW in Maspeth, New York. Evolve in Woodside, New York. WAW in Manchester, New Hampshire. Hood Slam in Oakland, California. OWC in Portland, Oregon. And All Star Wrestling in Madison, West Virginia. Without further ado, I want to welcome our show guest today. Today we are talking amateurs to pro, celebrating all the professional wrestlers that started out in amateur wrestling. And right now we have with us one of those people that made the transition, James Rampage. Welcome to the show. Glad to have you aboard today.
Thanks, Bud. Glad to be a part of it.
All right. And do we have our guest from the 760 area code?
Yes, you do. This is the lovely and most talented Mean Mac Traeger.
All right, Mean Mac. Thank you guys for being on today. My first question for you guys is, can you tell us a little bit about your amateur background and what made you want to transition that aspect into professional wrestling? I will start with James.
Well, I've been wrestling amateur for 26 years, since I was 3 years old. started when I was three. I was watching Saturday morning cartoons and with my dad, you know, Saturday, you know, wrestling was always first. So he made me sit down, watch wrestling before I could even watch my cartoons. And I started liking wrestling a lot more and started wrestling around, so they got me into youth wrestling at that young age, and been doing it up until 2012 was my last year. You know, won state for masters, freestyle, Greco, did the Great Lakes, was a Triple Crown champion there for a second time, and had nothing else to prove, so I figured I'd focus more on the professional wrestling.
Mac, what about you? What was your amateur background like, and what made you want to transition?
Well, when I was in third grade, my next-door neighbor, Christopher Kramer, was into wrestling at a young age, and I believe it was called the Rhinos in the Pacific Northwest, where I'm from when I was younger. He wrestled with them, and I went to a class/training session, and I fell in love with wrestling right away. And I proceeded to, for that whole year, since I was late, couldn't join, proceeded to watch and learn and go there. And then when I became in fourth grade, I was able to join myself. And I did amateur wrestling with that group for like 3 years until like sixth grade, the end of sixth grade. And then when middle school happened, it was wrestling in middle school. And I wrestled 2 years solid, seventh and eighth grade in middle school. And then in ninth grade, I started playing the football, which I already played before because there were different times. I sat there and started playing football for the high school. And then wrestling kind of took a back note at that point. And then I got back into wrestling at a later age in my life, but never stopped loving professional wrestling or amateur wrestling. And I think one of the things that really brought me back was watching Kurt Angle win the Olympics and then becoming a pro wrestler. It really inspired a lot of young people to go and think and say, I can do that too.
Now, a lot of professional wrestlers historically have come from the amateur ranks. There's guys like Lou Thesz, Kurt Angle, who Mac just mentioned, Kurt Hennig, the Steiner brothers, the list goes on and on, that all made the transition from the amateur ranks. And oftentimes, watching people as a professional, you don't always see the similarities from their amateur style. You don't necessarily pick up that they have that background, even though a lot of times they do. What is it about the amateur aspect of wrestling that might translate into what you do professionally that a lot of people may not appreciate? And we'll start with James.
Not appreciate? Well, let's see. My rookie year when I was green, I started off with my original amateur shoot shoes. And a lot of people was, you know, they always say, you know, that's not a look in wrestling. You're supposed to have boots, you know, or cover it up with kick pads and all that stuff. Another thing, you know, and I'll take the heat for this, but I'm sure the other guys could probably agree with me on this. You know, wrestlers with the amateur backgrounds, you know, and adapting from that amateur style to the professional styles, it felt like it was a lot easier because we're able to remember a lot more stuff. And I would say, you know, for amateur wrestlers, it was easy for us to adapt to the wrestling style because not only the amateur wrestling is our own persona because we've lived it, and adapting and using that with our own techniques and, you know, whatever we use in the ring and everything. You know, sometimes there's a lot of people that really don't like that. And, you know, sometimes people, you know, oh, cool, you know, you got an amateur background, you know, that actually helps out when you're wrestling in the ring. And some people, I've had quite a bit of people who dislike it. And, you know, and that's the thing. When you have amateur wrestlers coming into the pro wrestling industry, you need to understand that, you know, we have all these, we're already coming in with different techniques that we can use. And that's, you know, a lot of people didn't like it when Kurt Angle came in. A lot of people didn't like it when Jack Swagger got into it. But, you know, like I said, you know, as long as, you know, to me, I just ignore the negatives, move on, you know, focus on yourself and focus on your own career, you know, to better yourself, but also, you know, your fellow brothers and sisters around you that are willing to help out as well. You know, that's why I like treating this industry not only just a business, but also a family business.
Mac, the people that watch you wrestle professionally may not appreciate that you have an amateur background. Your style doesn't necessarily show that. What is it that you bring from amateur wrestling into what you do to professional wrestling that people may not actually appreciate?
I think, honestly, probably the biggest thing that people don't understand about amateur wrestling and pro wrestling and in physical sports in general is your physical conditioning. You have to be able to condition your body, your lungs, and your mind to sit there and sweat, get out of air, get gassed, and keep going. Get hurt, get the wind knocked out of you, and keep going. I thought that at a young age playing minor league or minor football, you know, in elementary school, playing tackle, and also wrestling helped me out a lot to become who I am today. And it's all about the physicality that you do and be able to take it and keep going. A lot of people can dish stuff out. A lot of people can't take it. And for me, knowing what I can take and what I can't take has helped me out a lot. And you are right. My current style of brawling does not really help me at all from the amateur time. I did train for 3 years before I became a pro, and I do know a lot of holds. I can do a lot of holds, but right now in my career, it is the brawling aspect rather than the technician or the technical aspect of wrestling. But I really love mat wrestling. I love chain wrestling. I love submission wrestling. And at this point in my career, it has been the brawling for the past 2 years. But it's nice to know that I have the amateur background and the conditioning from football and wrestling to be able to use all of those skills to help me today, tomorrow, and the next day to move forward and progress my career. Because if you really only have one style of professional wrestling, you need to adapt. You need to change, because that one style will only carry you so far. It may carry you to WWE, but it's only going to carry you so far.
Well said. Now, in professional wrestling, it's a whole different animal as opposed to amateur as far as how it's presented, the rules, what people look for as far as how you're successful in wrestling, different training methods. Going through amateur wrestling, when you first got into professional wrestling, were you able to make the transition as far as your mindset, as far as what you needed to succeed, how it worked, how it was presented, and that type of thing? Or was it a little bit of a hard adjustment at first? We'll go with James.
Like I said, adjusting and adapting to the style. No, I learned pretty quick on, you know, the techniques, the basics. The people that I was trained with at the time didn't like it because I was still, you know, doing the amateur wrestling on the side, and I was still conditioning, you know, and I was in shape at that time. So a lot of the other people really did not like that because the person that was training me at the time kind of upped the conditioning, upped the practices, and was trying to basically get everyone up to my level. But I, got a lot of heat on that because, you know, being the amateur wrestlers and being in shape, because we know what it takes when we have to go into wrestler mode. And if that's, you know, with doing whatever it takes for wrestling and how we were trained and, you know, how the amateur training. I remember the one training my amateur year when I was in Waterloo, Iowa for nationals. And for the first couple of weeks we were down there, we trained with the Iowa Hawkeyes. And I wish they could adapt. I tried even, you know, throwing advice out there with, you know, the practice and training, not only to better myself, but, you know, to help everyone else out. You know, like, you do got to stay in shape. You do have to, you know, keep your stamina up, and, you know, when we're doing these matches. And I first, and I thought I was in shape at the time. I weighed 165 pounds, and I was wrestling 209 because I liked, you know, throwing the bigger guys around. And that's, you know, what I was good at. So Iowa's training consisted of running from like 5 o'clock in the morning until 7 o'clock, and then we would have breakfast for an hour and a half, and then we would train with drills from 9 o'clock until 1, and then we'd have lunch from 1 to 2, and then we'd do drills again from 2 to 5, and then from 5 to 6 was dinner, and then from 6 to 9 o'clock was more running. And we did that for 2 weeks straight, and it was hell. I can't imagine how many times I thought I was going to die, but kept with it, and it actually helped me not only better myself, you know, with my stamina, but it helped me focus more on what the goal was. But adjusting over to the wrestling training, you know, same thing. I thought, you know, I enjoyed it. I loved it. Everything, no matter what, how bad it hurt, you know, it kept going and kept going. And, you know, it's always good whoever you're being trained with, you know, all the other fellow wrestlers, brothers and sisters, you know, encouraging them to, you know, train harder and harder as well. And to me, I think adjusting to that was fairly easy just because of, you know, having the amateur experience. You know, we're able to learn a lot quicker. So I might not like that, but I mean, it is kind of true.
Mac, how about you? Were you able to make that transition wrestling amateur for so long into professional wrestling fairly seamless, or did it take a little bit of getting used to once you stepped out there in the wrestling ring as a professional?
To be 100% honest, it wasn't that big of a hard transition. It was more of just a mental transition of slowing my own ass down. Because when you're doing amateur wrestling, you are trying to physically move this person, get in this hold, pin him, make him tap, whatever you can, you know, because it's grappling amateur wrestling. Ultimately, you want to get that pin, but it's a physical back and forth constantly. And when I started training professional wrestling, I had to realize and understand it was more of a creative dance. The physicality was still there. The endurance still had to be there. Mentally, you still had to be tough. You had to know every little ins and outs of everything. But when it came down to it, I had to slow down. And remember, it's professional wrestling. It's not amateur wrestling. Because when you're getting the circle on the mat for amateur wrestling, you are on a time clock, and you only have so much time to do what you can to make that person get pinned. So if you can't pin him in that time frame, you're kind of screwed. You have to go by the points then. And that's another thing you have to remember about amateur wrestling is the point system, where in professional wrestling, the only thing you have to worry about is getting disqualified from the ref. So I found the transition not that difficult, except for I had to slow my own ass down and be more methodical. Like when you see the guys from the 80s at Portland Wrestling, and even were anywhere in the 80s, they're slow and methodical. Today's wrestling, it's really a lot faster. It's not slow methodical as much anymore. There are a few wrestlers who still get it and do it, but there's too many wrestlers out there that are doing this like gymnastics, and it's not. This is professional wrestling. Amateur wrestling helps out a lot to get that across.
Absolutely.
Does that make you laugh, Stein, guys?
A lot of people had to tell you to slow down when you were starting.
Yeah, definitely had to slow down, because when you're an amateur and you're going 100 miles an hour for 7 minutes about, you know, and sit there and you're doing everything you can to get that pin. In professional wrestling, you may have a 20-minute match, according to the booker, or a 15-minute match. You need to go that whole time. You can't blow yourself up in 7, 6 minutes, 5 minutes, and expect the guy to carry you the rest of the match and just do a sugar hold or sit there and take a breather, because you can't. It's professional wrestling. You got to run. You got to hit the ropes. You got to entertain the crowd. And that was a big thing as an amateur you didn't have to do. You never had to entertain the crowd as an amateur. To win as an amateur was to win, get the pin. To win as a professional is to get over with the crowd, not necessarily get the pin. So there's some difference there. But overall, I thought the transition was not that hard. I just had to slow my ass down.
Now, amateur rules also, like Mac just mentioned, are way different than professional wrestling rules. It's a very different type of sport when you're watching amateur compared to professional wrestling as far as what is legal, what is not, what you're trying to do to win, that type of thing. Do you think, as a general rule, that fans of amateur wrestling become fans of professional wrestling and vice versa due to the vast differences, or do you think that fans of amateur wrestling are pretty much fans of amateur wrestling and fans of professional wrestling are pretty much just fans of professional wrestling? What do you think, James?
You know, there could be two sides to this question. I mean, I grew up, you know, doing the amateur wrestling, but I also fell in love with, you know, the professional wrestling along the way. You know, and that was, I remember kindergarten, the first thing I said was I wanted to wrestle in a WWF ring. And, you know, I had that opportunity, and, you know, I'm happy where I'm at now. But I would say, you know, there's some amateur fans, and you have to take, even in today's society, amateur wrestling, it's not what it used to be. I mean, I would say it was probably, you know, at least maybe 10 years ago, it was hopping, it was popular, you know, and it's like nowadays you're barely seeing, you know, people in your own community or even the students, you know, get involved. I mean, normally you would have full wrestling team of, like, you know, if there was a max of 35 people on a team, you have a max of 35 people on a team, and nowadays you're barely even hitting in the 20s. And I think it's not just that sport, it's other sports as well. But I think competitive-wise, the amateur fans who grew up being amateur fans would probably most likely not watch wrestling strictly because, you know, we know deep down inside the amateur wrestlers that are professional wrestlers, we know what we're capable of if you put a professional wrestler up against an amateur wrestler in an amateur match. We know what the outcome would be. But if you have fans, you know, that, you know, grew up watching wrestling. You know, my dad grew up watching wrestling. Lou Thesz, Killer Kowalski, you know, all those great legends. And, you know, I'm actually, even though, you know, at first I didn't really like wrestling at first, but when he kind of like drilled the professional wrestling in me and got me into youth wrestling, you know, I fell in love with it, you know, and that was my one main goal, was to wrestle in the, wrestle in one of the WWE rings, and, you know, having an opportunity now, and I would say today's fan base, I mean, you're either wrestling fans or you're not. And if you're professional wrestling fans, you're professional wrestling fans. And if you're amateur wrestling fans, then you're amateur wrestling fans. I mean, I would say 10, 20 years ago, you know, it'd be amateur wrestling or amateur fans absolutely loving professional wrestling. And the professional wrestling fans, you know, also like an amateur as well. When you see all these other young wrestlers with amateur backgrounds come into play, and you see how great and talented they are in the ring. And you, I mean, look at Kurt, for example, like what Max said, look at Kurt Angle. He was like the start, you know, as soon as he got signed and made his debut at Joe Louis Arena. And I remember I was there. I was the only one cheered for the guy because, you know, his amateur background, and I was an amateur wrestler, and I absolutely loved amateur wrestling. Seeing him become a professional wrestler, And no one, everyone else around me was like, what the hell are you doing? Why are you cheering for this guy? And I'm like, because I love him. He's awesome. But, you know, how things are in professional wrestling. But I would say, you know, 20 years ago, amateur wrestling fans would be professional wrestling fans. Now, I kind of feel that, you know, it's like 50-50, you know. You're either a wrestling fan or you're not. You're an amateur wrestling fan, you're an amateur wrestling fan. Professional wrestling fan, you're a professional wrestling fan. So that's my take.
Mac, what about you? What do you think of the fan base, amateur to pro? Do you think they're separate or do you think they kind of commingle?
I do believe that there is a bleed over, but I think it really depends on the person, how they want to watch wrestling, and what are they getting out of it. Because if you're a mom and a dad and you're watching your son doing wrestling through school and stuff like that, you and your child should be taking it seriously. So they may not want to watch professional wrestling because they're like, oh, that's blah, blah, blah. So they tend to go towards the MMA, UFC style so their child can learn all the moves and holds to help them in what they're doing now. But does not matter what the parents think. If the kids like wrestling, you like wrestling, you like all kinds of wrestling, you will watch all kinds of wrestling, and you will take a little tidbits from this and from that to help you become a better wrestler. And you may sit there and even do some of their moves in your amateur wrestling, but the fan base, I think it's pretty much individualized. A lot of fans are purists. A lot of fans who watched amateur wrestling in 1984 and at other Olympics, they did watch pro wrestling. But there was a time when the steroids came out and everything, WWE lost a lot of fans, and a lot of fans just turned away. It took a whole other generation to sit there and come back, to sit there and get them back to where they were. Now, I think the same thing might be going on with the fan base between amateur and pro. You sit there and you have all these amateurs that love amateur wrestling to the purest. They watch it. They love wrestling. They watch MMA. They watch pro wrestling because all of it is entertaining. No matter how you look at it, it's all entertaining. You can learn something from all of it. So I think the fans do bleed over. I do think there is some purist out there that just shakes their head, but that's that way with anything.
Like I mentioned earlier, there's been a lot of people that have come from the amateur ranks into professional wrestling and had very successful careers pretty much from the dawn of professional wrestling until here in current day. We've seen a lot of guys that have had amateur bases and made the transition. In your own opinion, who do you think might be the most successful amateur-turned-professional wrestler? How about James?
Kurt Angle, definitely, hands down. I mean, he's done a lot. Even since his debut, I don't know, I want to say, was it 3-4 months in his debut, he won the European title, then he won the King of the Ring, then he won the Intercontinental title. You know, I believe that's, I don't know if Mac, if you could help me, if that was like within his first year or his first couple of years.
Yeah, Mac? I believe it was in his first couple of years.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, but I mean, look how quickly he, you know, evolved. And that's the thing, when you're coming in from amateur wrestling into pro, I think it's a lot easier for us to adapt so quickly, to learn, you know, and get all the techniques down so quickly. And if you look at Kurt Angle, you know, he came right in and then boom, 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 he's getting title after title after title. And it's not just, you know, getting things handed to him, like he's earning this, you know, and he's developing himself at a very high pace. And the fact is, even though he has his amateur background, He adapted it with the professional wrestling style. That's the one thing that I loved. Like, I do it today as well. Like, I kind of slowed off from my amateur background and put that, like, in my back pocket. But, you know, if I'm out there wrestling and, you know, I can't finish the guy off, then you know what? Boom, I have a couple of my amateur stuff right up my sleeve that I can pull out. And with him, you know, just combining his amateur style with the professional style, I think that's what helped him develop so quickly and, you know, become a multiple WWE champion and TNA and everything. Like, I think he is definitely the most successful amateur wrestler to pro.
Mac, who would you say is the most successful going from the amateurs to the pros?
Well, it's a tough question because you do have the Steiner brothers. You do have Kurt Angle. You do have Brock Lesnar. You do have Swaggart. And you do have the other guy who did win an Olympic gold medal who never really did anything in the WWE. So, because I do remember WWE did sign somebody who won a gold medal and they never really did anything with him. But to say who's the most successful amateur today, I'm going to have to say Brock Lesnar. I really am. Kurt Angle may have won an Olympic gold medal with a frickin' broken neck, and he may be America's boy. But I think Brock Lesnar has shown everybody that you can go from the pros wrestling to UFC, make a name for yourself, do good, come back, and still be a worker. Now, he did have the problem with his stomach with a diverticulitis, I think it was. That pretty much ended his UFC career. But he did have a good career in UFC. It was not like CM Punk going from pros to MMA and getting squashed. He did win. He was a champion. Now, Kurt Angle, could he have gone to UFC and MMA instead of TNA and made a massive impact and become a champion there? Probably. He probably could have. Because you look at everything the guy has done. He is a winner. Kurt Angle is a winner. So you have Brock Lesnar, you have Kurt Angle, two top guys who have won championships in different areas. Kurt Angle has won a gold medal legitimately. Brock Lesnar has won a UFC title legitimately. So I tip my hat to Brock Lesnar, but Kurt Angle is right there. If I had to sit there and pick, I'm picking Brock Lesnar. But in my book, you're looking at 10 and 9.9 right there on the Richter scale for both of those gentlemen.
Fair enough. Well, at this point, my co-host QT Vokes is with us, and I believe QT has questions as well. So, Fez, help you as I pass things along to QT for a bit.
Hey, QT, I do have to go because I have to run back to work, so I will talk to you guys later. Have a good show.
All right. Thank you, Mac. All right, QT, do you have questions for James?
You bet. Now, James, we here at Turnbuckle Turmoil, the staff of Turnbuckle Turmoil, like to ask our guests what their high school mascot was and what the colors of their high school were. We keep a logbook. For the record, can I have your junior high school colors?
My junior high school colors? Purple
yes,
and gold.
Please. Oh, okay. Purple and gold. Very nice. P-U-P-L-E. Okay, purple and gold. And your mascot at the junior high level?
Wildcat.
Oh, okay, Wildcat. For the record, Central Washington University in Ellensburg, their mascot is the Wildcat. Okay.
Well, if you guys know my style and seen my matches and videos, I would much rather know myself as Wolverine.
Oh yes, the Wolverine. They have sometimes make grizzly bears back up, especially over a
Wolverine. They're not afraid of anything. You know, you walk it like I said, they'll walk right up to a grizzly bear, and I've said it before in my videos. You know, they'll walk straight up to you until I can take it. It doesn't matter how big you are. You know, Wolverine is a Wolverine, and I've seen videos where Wolverines even taken on packs of wolves, and they've lost.
Have you gone on YouTube and watched a Wolverine back down a pack of wolves?
No, it's on Discovery Channel all the time.
Oh, Discovery, okay. All right. Okay. Well, James, can I have your colors in high school?
High school?
Yes.
Purple and gold.
Oh, not much change.
Nope.
Did you go to the same, were your junior high and high school the same?
Junior high. I've been all over for that. Junior high was orange and black, and then it got changed to green and what was the other color? Green and gold. And then it's purple and gold.
Wow. So your high school was purple and gold then?
Yep.
Okay, what was your mascot in high school?
High school, same, Wildcat.
Oh, okay. All right, very good. Thank you. That's very good. You are now officially in our logbook for mascots and colors. Very good. You join wrestlers such as Prince Al-Farat, and his colors were fuchsia, and purple, and his mascot was the Supercabra. That was March 8th. And you also joined JB Moonshine, and his colors, he refused to comment. JB.
Nice.
Now, Ryan Rude, June 9th, he said that his mascot was the Chippewa. So you're in very elite company. Yes. Okay. All right. Well, James, my first question is, did you ever face a girl at the junior high or high school level in competition? A girl?
Oh, yes. I'll even start from the very beginning. When I got into youth wrestling, I wrestled at it was a Dundee tournament, and I was 3 years old, and there was three people in my weight class. One was, you know, me, and then my buddy, who's on the same team as I, and a girl. And my very first career amateur match was against a girl. And I will admit that, and I'll even admit it today, that female wrestlers are highly competitive. And I'm not saying, you know, I've heard people, you know, oh, you get to wrestle a girl wrestler, oh, you know, it's an automatic win. It's not just an automatic win. It's not an automatic win. I mean, you need to understand how, you know, they're coming out here with the same ambitions, same goals as you, and they're pretty tough. I ended up wrestling her, and she threw me around like a rag doll. And I'm talking like, you know, literally throwing me around like if you ever seen Lesnar threw Spike Dudley around. Except,
yes.
You know, we were the same height and built and everything. But after I think she elbowed me in the face and I got upset and I hip tossed her right down and halved her and pinned her. And that's all it took. Like, she, as soon as she got me in the face, I guess that got my adrenaline going. But here's the ironic thing about it. That was when I was three. So 9 years later, I'm wrestling. I haven't wrestled a girl since. So 9 years later, I'm up against, I was in group four for freestyle and Greco. And I'm wrestling this girl who's a little bit taller than me and pretty built. And then she just looks so familiar. And then after we went at it, it literally took me until the third period to either pin her or beat her by points. And the first time meeting her, I could literally only beat her by points. And They had freestyle and Greco back and forth. So if you're doing that, I'm wrestling probably every 10 minutes. And it's hard work, you know. And like what Max said, you know, you have to have that stamina. You know, you have to get your cardio up, you know, in order to do this. Freestyle and Greco, you know, is different from high school wrestling. High school states, you know, you're wrestling once or twice a day. You know, I don't know if it's changed now. I haven't caught up with it. But, you know, when you're in freestyle and Greco and you're wrestling up at state, especially in the cadets, and I remember in cadets, I had 117 people in my weight class. And we're wrestling left and right, left and right. And that was actually the year I won state for freestyle and Greco, and I won my first national title. But back to the girl. I ended up beating her by points, and come to find out, I'm wrestling my next match, Greco. I'm like, oh, it's, you know, the same girl. I'm like, okay, so I'm wrestling the same girl and everything. And then her sister comes up and tells her good luck and everything. I just got done wrestling him. I'm like, what? So come to find out, they were twins.
Oh,
and
wow.
Yes. Come to find out that they were twins. And I actually dated one of them for a year just because of the whole amateur and everything. But find out that they were women's world national champions over in Greece, both of them. And
what?
Yeah. And I'm like, okay. So that's probably why it took me until the third period to, you know, beat the first one. The second one, she threw me around. Then I had locked her and pinned her. But that I think that was probably close to the third. I believe that was the start of the third period because I could, you know, didn't know what to do. I'm trying my best, and you know they were incredibly strong. But they're also very determined to win. I've never lost to a girl, but I'll admit that they are very, very, very goal oriented and very extremely tough when it comes to wrestling.
Wow.
I don't think a lot of people today give that amount of credit to the female wrestlers, even to the female professional wrestlers. You know, they work as much as hard as we do. If not, I believe they work a hell of a lot harder than the male wrestlers. And you know, they're tough. They are extremely tough. But in high school, I never wrestled a girl. It was mostly just for freestyle and Greco, out of school wrestling, club wrestling, basically. But yeah, I had a tough time wrestling them. And I believe every time I went up to state, you know, every time I took first and they would take second and third, beating out the other guys.
Wow. Okay. All right. Very good. Okay. Well, James, we are expanding so rapidly in the computer sciences that many top scientists and philosophers believe we are just beginning the era of artificial intelligence. My question is, do you believe we will soon have wrestlers at the pro level that are guided and trained under artificial intelligence?
That is an interesting question. I would say I honestly don't believe during this time or within the next 100 years that it will happen. I'll be long gone before then, but I would say it's possible.
Okay.
I mean, anything's possible, really. You know, but I mean, look at social media. You know, you have someone who doesn't know how to cook, and all it takes is to YouTube a couple of things, and then boom, you're like a chef.
Yes.
But using artificial intelligence and everything, at some point, I believe, yeah, you know, if everything's correct, you know, I think at some point you'd be able to teach that. But I don't think they're that close.
Okay. All right. Well, do you believe that we will someday see a babyface wrestler guided by artificial intelligence, maybe 30 years from now, who will wrestle a transgender heel champion and maybe even marry him or her in the ring, thus breaking another barrier like Billy and Chuck did? It's a babyface artificial intelligence wrestler versus transgender heel.
Like I said, anything's possible. I mean, look at what's happening today with AEW. You know, they're bringing in a lot of people. They're bringing in what's her name? Nyla Rose. They're bringing in all kinds of other wrestlers that actually deserve to work their way up towards the spotlight. So, in 30 years, a babyface artificial intelligence wrestler versus a transgender wrestler and actually marrying them.
Yes, in the ring.
In the ring. To be honest, I could see WWE making it happen.
Okay. All right. Very good. Okay. Well, James, boot camp has sometimes been compared to wrestling at the college level. The only training that is universally acknowledged as tougher than wrestling would be Army Ranger training, Green Beret and Navy SEAL training, or basic underwater demolition training. When they spend every day for hours at a time off Norfolk, Virginia, training in and out of the Atlantic Ocean, it's pretty acknowledged that these elite warriors have a wrestling beat. How do you think you could have done in Navy SEAL training, especially the final week called Hell Week, where trainees only get about two hours of sleep per day for the entire week?
2 hours of sleep per day? It sounds like my college years. Oh wow. How I would be able to manage that?
Yeah, how do you think you would have done?
At what age? I mean, if I was 18 at the time, yeah, definitely. You know, probably between 18 and 22 during my, during my prime years of amateur wrestling before I became pro, you know, I would say, yeah, I'd be able to do it. Now? Oh, no. I'd probably be dead on the first day.
Yeah.
I mean, the Army Ranger School, right? And the last week is Hell Week, right? Don't they have – isn't it like 2 months or 61 days or something of combat of courses that they have to go through?
Yes.
Yeah, I would say, you know, my younger years, I would probably be able to manage it. Now, I would say no. And then, it's a youth thing. You know, I would have to say, you know, my younger years, of course I'd be able to do it. But, you know, how things happen when you get older.
That's true. Yes. Yeah. Okay. That's good. All right. Well, James, do you look at the damage that has been done to such boxers as Sugar Ray Seals, who is legally blind in both eyes, Muhammad Ali, who had Parkinson's, Evander Holyfield, who was starting to forget things, and even Jerry Quarry, who died at the age of 52 and was in the care of his mother because he didn't know where he was, And do you feel you made the right choice of wrestling over boxing?
Wrestling over boxing?
Yeah.
I would probably compare it from wrestling over to football. Football was my second sport. And I was the star running back for middle school, high school. When I got into college, I decided to choose amateur wrestling, collegiate wrestling. And, I mean, I would say, you know, regardless of any sport, concussions are a major factor. You know, even in track, tennis, anything could happen where you can get a concussion. And with boxing, you know, it's like, what, 90% chance of even getting a concussion every time.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know what the statistics are, but in my opinion, I think 90% of the time of each boxing match that you have, you know, it's a 90% possibility you're going to get a major concussion. And I think with the boxers who, you know, went through that training, went through their own career, that, you know, that's what they fought for, regardless of how hurt they were, regardless of what the injuries that were come later down the road. I mean, same thing with wrestling. Like Jake the Snake said it best, you know, less is more. You know, and you can turn. I would rather have a 20-year career of professional wrestling than going all out doing all this crazy ass stuff and only have like a 5 to 10 year career because of injuries. I mean, granted, like it'll be 13 years for me for wrestling for July, come July 4th. But out of the 12 and a half years, I've only had 3 concussions. I've never, knock on wood, never gotten hurt in the ring. Mostly if I got hurt, it was just those 3 concussions. I'm very safe and know my surroundings. But like I said, you know, anything can happen. You know, I already said myself, if I ever got a concussion, I would most likely stop running, because I don't want to be like that, be the crippled person by the time I hit 40 or 50 or even close to 60. Those are very young. I mean, even 50 is still very young, regardless of, you know, what anyone else says in today's world. 50 years old is still very young. 60 is still young. And you see not only wrestlers, but, you know, like you said, boxers passing away, you know, with all these conditions at young ages. But that's the thing. You know, you put your body on the line for the entertainment. I put my body, I put my life on the line every time I go out in that ring, for the fans, for their entertainment. You know, that's my job. My job is to make sure they have a hell of a show. And, you know, regardless, you know, stay safe at all times. But, you know, the injuries and everything comes with every single sport. Those boxers, they choose to be boxers. I honestly got lucky. Someone approached me, say, hey, you know, you look like you're a wrestler or a professional wrestler. I was like, no, you know, just did amateur. And then, you know, I got asked if I wanted to become a professional wrestler. And boom, you know, I ended up training, ended up going down to Tennessee, got retrained again, you know, and never looked back. I absolutely love doing what I do. And the injuries come with the job. But I would say, you know, getting into the business, or getting even in football, you're playing football, you're playing baseball, and you know the injuries will come. Even if they don't, they're still there. And those are the risks that we all take. And we take those risks because we love what we do. And, you know, it's sad when you see handful of wrestlers, you know, around my age, even passing away. Not from injuries, from like other things and everything, but it's sad seeing them, you know, go at a very young age like that. And then, you know, seeing boxers, you know, like you said, what was his name? He passed away at 51, 52?
Jerry Corey. Yes. He fought all the top fighters like Frazier and Ali and Dwight. No, wait a second. Who else was there? I think he even may have fought Foreman, but boy, he got so many headshots. Yes.
All right. I know my favorite boxer will always be Rocky Marciano.
he was a tough one. Yes.
Yep. Iris Smith, was it 49-0? Or what is it, 47-0 or something? Or 49-0?
I think 48-0.
48-0? Okay, yeah. Yeah. That guy, I mean, but see, if you looked at his style, like, as soon as the bell rings, same thing with amateur wrestling, as soon as the whistle blows, you know, you're off like a firecracker. And that's one of the nicknames I actually had back in seventh grade, when they did a write-up for me, because I went on the undefeated. I was 27-0, had 24 pins all within like the first period. You're like, as soon as the whistle blows, I'm off like a firecracker. You know, you get on the mat, you get it. You know, there's Max said, there's a time limit. Professional wrestling, there's not. But even watching Rocky Marciano and watching his videos and everything, you know, he was right from the start. As soon as the bell rings, boom, boom, boom. You know, get in, do your work, and get out. But
tough.
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm sorry to cut you short, but I think we only got about 3 minutes and 50 seconds left. I'd like to thank you for your information on your mascot and high school colors. At this time, I'm turning it back over to Sign Guy.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, bud.
All right. No, thank you, QT. Well, James, like QT said, we got just a few minutes left. So if you want to say anything to the listeners today, plug and promote absolutely anything you have, upcoming appearances, merchandise, social media, your favorite barbecue restaurant, anything in the world, floor is all yours.
Yeah. If anyone, you know, listening, feel free to follow me on Facebook. You can look up James Rampage. You can also follow me on Twitter, U of M Rampage. I also have new shirts coming in. I have some old shirts and actually Rampage stickers are now. And I actually have some new 8x10 photos if anyone's interested, you know who to contact. I do have upcoming shows. I got two next week and a couple of weeks. July 13th, I'll actually be wrestling for XMCW in Winfield. West Virginia. And then the following week, I will be in South Bend, Indiana, July 20th for EHF Entertainment Wrestling. So if you guys are in those areas, you can feel free to come out, you know, check it out. Should be great shows. But yeah, I think that's pretty much it.
All right. Well, James, I want to thank you for being on the show today. We appreciate the time you gave us greatly. Also want to send our thanks to Mac Traeger. You can catch him on Sunday at Blue Collar Wrestling in Portland, Oregon. So be it amateur, be it professional, get out there, support wrestling wherever it may be near you. Go check out a show or go to a local amateur meet. Support what the wrestlers do. We will be back with you Sunday afternoon. We will be joined by Lone Star once again. So make sure you have plans in place to join us for Lone Star on Sunday, and we'll talk to you then.